Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Father, thank you for joining us too. Oh, glory to God. Thank you, Lord, for this wonderful revelation today. All about victory over the enemies. And ask you to bless everyone out there, Lord, that are your children. And defend them from the wicked. Oh, praise be to God. Okay, we call this one, Death Separates the Fleshly from the Spiritual, number 4. And this first revelation was given to Timothy Dixon on 5/3/21. And it was called Leprosy in the White House, Horse with No Rider, Death, Great Awakening. Amen. It's awesome. Timothy said, I had a dream about a man that had leprosy. Well, leprosy has been recognized from early ages as a curse upon sinners. And it is today recognized as spiritually representing a much larger disease incorporating the whole curse upon sinners. It is a spirit of infirmity. Representing a much larger curse of infirmity. Okay. And Timothy said, I was walking in downtown Washington, D.C., and as I walked, I could hear a cry, crying out in the spirit all throughout the land that sounded like a person that had lost somebody. Someone had died, and they were mourning their death. Well, it's starting to happen, and it's going to get worse. Yes, and as we will see, the man with leprosy is an evil, fallen angel spirit sent forth by the Lord to bring death, judgment, and curses on all those who refuse to repent and turn from their wickedness and give their lives to Jesus Christ. And let me say, the vaccine destroys natural immunity to all diseases. Diseases are racing through bodies unrestrained now in a geometric proportion. And even the unvaccinated are catching it from the vaccinated. The Trump administration, I'm going to call it, is counting on the med beds. But the available cure is Jesus Christ. He's already done it, and we need to pay attention. I'll put a link to our book here that will bring this to your attention and protect you in the coming days. Timothy said, many people are not just one, but many were crying, and I could hear it ring all through the streets, even in all the houses of the city of Washington, D.C., and in all the businesses. There was a cry in the land that you could feel inside your heart, inside your spirit. It was like they'd lost something, like the death of everyone all through the businesses. Well, there will be judgment on the economy as well, in the businesses, yes. But there is a solution, and it's coming. But first, the judgment. I walked up to the Capitol building, and I saw a man standing at the door covered with leprosy. He started walking all through the chambers, through the Senate chambers, and all over the place. And as he walked, I was following him and watching him. And the sickness that he had was being spread throughout all the places where he walked. And, of course, this is a spirit of infirmity. Dropping it all over the place. Now in the government, we can see it's going to hit, right? More so. Well, as Father has told us for over 4.5 years now that he would direct this plague to take down whom he wills. And we know he's going to take down the heads of the faction in the state and in the church. That's what this is pointing to. He was a sickness that came in a form of an evil spirit, and I could see it in the spirit. It was a sickness that looked like leprosy in the spirit, but it took on many different forms outwardly. Many diseases are eating away at the body, like leprosy. Yes. This spirit of leprosy was walking through all of the White House also. He said, "If the righteous scarcely be saved, where will the sinner and the ungodly appear?" Okay. So the spirit of leprosy is taking for his authority what the scripture says. In 1 Peter 4:17 through 19, "For the time is come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begin first at us, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous is scarcely saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear?" In other words, it'll be worse on them. "Wherefore, let them also that suffer according to the will of God commit their souls in well-doing unto a faithful Creator." And I take that to mean if a Christian catches this and they're faithful to God, they'll get deliverance. Commit your souls in well-doing unto a faithful Creator. Because God can perfect those that are, in a measure, walking in sin, right? "I saw the people of the White House, and sores began to come up on their bodies." Now, he's talking about the White House now and what it symbolizes now, okay? "And it was eating them away." The sores were like boils. Exodus 9, 8 through 11 says, "And the Lord said unto Moses and unto Aaron, take to you handfuls of ashes of the furnace, and let Moses sprinkle it towards heaven in the sight of Pharaoh. And it shall become small dust over all the land of Egypt, and shall be a boil breaking forth with blains upon man and upon beast throughout all the land of Egypt." Not in Goshen. "And they took ashes of the furnace and stood before Pharaoh, and Moses sprinkled it up towards heaven. And it became a boil breaking forth with blains upon man and upon beast. And the magicians could not stand before Moses because of the boils, for the boils were upon the magicians and upon all the Egyptians." There you go. The factious who practice witchcraft against God's elect will be sorely judged. "Then I saw an angel with a vessel or vial in his hand, flying with a great big cherubim wings. And as he went, he started pouring it out all through the land." So an angel was bringing this judgment too. "He was a great big angel, and he flew across the whole world. He began to say, 'Woe unto the inhabitants of the land that are not covered by the blood of Jesus.'" Wow. If you don't know what getting covered by the blood of Jesus is all about, it's not out there running through the world doing your own thing. It's walking under the blood, as they had to do in Exodus 12. Here's Exodus 12, 23, 29 through 30. 23, "For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come into your houses to smite you." All right. "And it came to pass at midnight that the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all of his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry." There it is right there, a great cry in Egypt. "For there was not a house where there was not one dead." Listen, this is a plague. It's been released by the deep state. It is going to be, and God told us he was going to use it. And we can see how. "I then saw the man that was leprosy walk out of the White House, And he said, sickness will fall on the ungodly men and women that have polluted the sanctuary of the Lord. This is clearly talking about backsliders, right? And as the Lord warned, Babylon, deep state's plague will destroy apostate Christianity. Apostate means backslidden, okay? Those who have turned away from the truth. Leviticus 20, 1 through 8. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, moreover, thou shalt say to the children of Israel, whosoever he be of the children of Israel, or of strangers that sojourn in Israel, that giveth of his seed unto Moloch, he shall surely be put to death. The people of the land shall stone him with stones. Well, Molech was a false god that invaded God's people, who desired that their children be burned in fire. Yeah, that's right. And that's what they did. And all of those apostate Christians who raised their children in apostasy, in other words, a falling away from the original truth that we have written in the Bible, they're offering their children to a false Jesus to be burned in the fire of hell. It's a curse in the last four verses of the Bible to add to or take from the words of the book. They've made up their own religions. They do add to and take from. And a curse is upon them, and they have brought a curse upon their children because they've trained them to be the same way. They're not going to the Bible and starting from the original words. In verse 3, I also will set my face against that man and will cut him off from among his people, because he hath given of his seed unto Molech, to defile my sanctuary and to profane my holy name. And if the people of the land do at all hide their eyes from that man when he giveth of his seed unto Molech, in other words, they don't pay attention and don't do something about it, and put him not to death, then I will set my face against that man and against his family, and will cut him off, and all that play the harlot after him, to play the harlot with Molech from among their people. So those that are catch it from the first people, the false preachers, and they catch it from them, and then it destroy their own families. And then those children go out and raise up children to worship a false Jesus, a false Bible. And the soul that turneth unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto the wizards to play the harlot after them, I will even set my face against that soul, and I will cut him off from among his people. Sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God, and you shall keep my statutes and do them. I am the Lord who sanctifieth you. All those types and shadows were written for us, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Have you read that? And Timothy said, I knew that God's anger had hit the ungodly people that had come against the very name of Jesus, nature, character, and authority of the true Jesus. See, that's what name means, nature, character, and authority. And his word. I saw through this that there was such a deception in the church world. So many people had thought we would never reach this place that we have reached in this world today. And because of this mentality, there were so many people wondering what to do. They were wringing their hands, not knowing the answer, not having an answer anymore. That's because they don't respect the scriptures. It is the answer. But I am here to tell you, Jesus Christ is our answer today. He is the great I am. Yes, he is. Timothy went on to say, I believe oftentimes that a lot of diseases are spirits of the devil, satanic spirits. Yes, they are. It was in the Bible too, called spirits of infirmity. In my dream, I saw this satanic spirit, and he had went before the Lord in heaven and told the Lord, I'll go now to the land, and I'll go to the earth, and I'll be the leprosy, and I'll be the sickness, and I'll cause sickness to fall on the people and on the ungodly. And Timothy said, this reminded me of the scriptures where the Spirit came to the Lord and said, I'll go. I'll be a lying spirit in the mouth of the prophets. Mm-hmm. 1 Kings 22:19-23. And Micaiah said, therefore hear thou the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the host of heaven standing by him, on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, who shall entice Ahab? That, of course, is the apostate leadership of God's people. That he may go up and fall at Ramoth-Gilead. And one said on this manner, and another said on that manner. And there came forth a spirit and stood before the Lord and said, I will entice him. And the Lord said unto him, wherewith? And he said, I'll go forth and be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. See all the false Jesus prophets out there, and they are many. They outnumbered Micaiah totally. You know, so all the false prophets of the backslidden religions will bring destruction from their enemies. They have not taught their people to have a Passover. They have not taught their people that Jesus bore their curse. They have not taught their people to defend themselves against his judgments. And they've not taught their people to obey the word of God. And he said, thou shalt entice him, and shalt prevail also. Go forth and do so. Now therefore, behold, the Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these thy prophets, and the Lord has spoken evil concerning thee. Then Timothy said, I saw the spirits of Elijah and of Moses stand up in the land. Woo-hoo! I saw a power of God that was so unreal. I knew that no one had ever seen such a power, such a reaction, such a move of God out of a spoken word that we were witnessing right then. And because of this, many people were coming to the Lord. Yes, amen. Joel 2:28-32. And it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Oh, my goodness. I shouldn't say half. It's a lot more than that. Don't believe that anybody in the church can prophesy. Okay. Too bad. They departed from the word. Now they don't get the warnings, right? The devil did his job. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Oh, we don't like those dreams. They rebuke us, right? Sure. Your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaidens in those days will I pour out of my spirit, and I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before the great and terrible day of the Lord cometh. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be those that escape, as the Lord hath said, and among the remnant of those whom the Lord doth call. Yes, the ones in Zion and in Jerusalem, there shall be those that escape. Thank you, Father. God is cleansing his people, and he's been doing it. I walked on through the streets and started up a staircase that led to the top of the Supreme Court. It's like I was walking up a ladder, and I was standing on top of the roof of the Supreme Court building. Well, you know, the prophets of the Lord will be the ones to pronounce God's justice and judgments in these last days, not the courtrooms of men. They've failed. They're going to be replaced. And a voice spoke loud and audibly, saying, Son of man, prophesy to the winds. Change is coming. Oh, there's the real change. Prophesy. David is the king of the land, and Saul's blood will run in the streets. Well, you can see in the government side who's David and who's Saul, right? And in the spiritual Christian side, you're going to find that out too. This confirms the David man-child Trump parallel that we've been shown since November of 2016. And I'll put a link to that. The Lord spoke to me many years ago, and he said very clearly, I am removing the Sauls out of the way to make room for the Davids, and you are one of my Davids. So Saul is a symbol of apostate leadership all across Christianity. So I stood in my dream on the top of the Supreme Court building, and I had a little short staff in my hand. I started prophesying and said, change, change is coming. Kind of like Haman. Yeah. David is the king. Saul's blood will run through the streets, quote unquote. In 1 Chronicles 10, 13 and 14. So Saul died for his trespass, which he committed against the Lord, because of the word of the Lord, which he kept not. And he doesn't keep it today either. And also for that he asked counsel of one that had a familiar spirit to inquire thereby. So God wouldn't answer him, right? That's right, he didn't. But he turned to witchcraft, and he lost his life for it. And, of course, the faction has done just that. They've turned to witchcraft, and they will lose their life for it. And inquired not of the Lord, therefore he slew him and turned the kingdom unto David, the son of Jesse. Amen. Then the scene changed, and I was off of the Supreme Court building, and I saw a funeral. There was a horse. It was a single horse, and no man was on the horse. It was saddled, and there was a man leading the horse by its reins, but inside the saddle stirrups of the horse was a set of empty boots strapped inside. This happened at the JFK funeral for obvious symbolism. And the symbolism represents the loss of a president. Guess which one this time? And when I looked behind that horse, I knew that it was a president that had died. Then I looked, and there was a motorcade further back. But in front of it, there was a carriage drawn by six white horses. There was a president on the carriage, and I knew it was the one that they're calling President Now, which, of course, is Joe Biden. And it should have been drawn by six mules. Okay. Then the scene changed from that, and I was standing inside a large hallway, and I saw President Trump was walking down the hallway with a security team. The security team was dressed in black, and they had black COVID masks on, but President Trump was not wearing one. I watched him walk into this large room, and then I heard a shofar horns going are blowing outside. I ran outside into the streets, and when I ran outside, there was no more funeral, but the streets were so full of people. There was a mass parade of people as the horns blew. Okay, well, what you can see here very plainly is that the return of Trump will bring such a celebration that it will totally overshadow the death of Biden, who never had any followers anyway. Yeah. Timothy said, I could hear church bells ringing all over the land. Revival was here in America. I can see how people can get excited about that. You could hear America was praying. America was calling out to God for the revival, and President Trump had returned to power. He was walking inside the White House, symbolizing, of course, the White House, the House of the People, and so on and so forth, not the building up there. He was the sitting president again. Hallelujah. Glory, said Timothy, right? Well, we've had many revelations of Trump's return to power. Some say by August of 2021. Some say before. I'm praying for the latter. And when the results of the election audits are revealed. Yes. True. Then the scene changed again. As we walked through the streets, I went up through the heavens and was standing on a cloud, and the Lord Jesus was standing on the cloud with me and said, "This is the last altar call. I'll soon come. Go and warn the people in all the world that the kingdom of heaven has come." Okay, well, according to the parallel that we were shown by the Lord, that he will come in his man-child body to lead his people. And when Cyrus slash Trump finally conquered Babylon, deep state, Daniel slash man-child was promoted over the kingdom. So Trump came to power at the same time the man-child came to power. And inside the man-child is the Lord. And by the way, he should be in you too. Okay. I then began to walk through the land and warn the people, but there was such revival, such a power of God that had swept across the land, yet there was sicknesses and there was devastation, but yet there was such a great, great move of God that our minds and our ears ain't never heard, Timothy said. Our eyes ain't never seen, Timothy said. Amen. I agree. And I knew that sickness had hit the people that refused to give themselves to the Lord. I knew they, that is the judgment angels, had come, and it shook up the world. It shook up the people. But yet there was revival. God is going to stand up and stop the evil and stop the wickedness that's been in this country. God's justice is coming. Yeah, let me say also that the revival will bring mass healings for those who will repent of their apostasies. Yes, God's got the cure. When God gets through with this corrupt bunch of politicians, we're going to believe in a God that destroyed the Egyptians. Yep, Pharaoh and all of his army. We're going to believe in a God that's got all kinds of compassion and love. But we're going to understand a God that is also a God of judgment. Yep. We'll put a link to his prophecy here. This one, next revelation is UBM protected by special ops angels. Eve Brast had this on 6/1/21. I dreamed that local UBM was encamped outdoors near the large gray stone wall that I've seen in my previous dreams. This wall represents sanctification, which separates us from the world and their wicked practices. And we are the stones that are fitted together tightly, and they are gray, representing our crucified life of death to self. Amen. She went on to say, our camp was at peace. It was lit by a light that came from overhead. Wow. So I believe the righteous have a covenant of peace through the light from heaven called the Word of God. Isaiah 54 and 10 says this, for the mountains may depart, the hills be removed, but my loving kindness shall not depart from thee. Neither shall my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord that hath mercy on thee. I believe he was talking to Zion there. Numbers 25, and of course those who submit to Zion have the same protection, you know. Numbers 25, 12 through 13 says, wherefore, behold, I give unto him my covenant of peace. And it shall be unto him and to his seed after him the covenant of an everlasting priesthood, because he was jealous for his God and made atonement for the children of Israel. and Ezekiel 37 and 26. Moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them. It shall be an everlasting covenant with them. And I will place them and multiply them and will set my sanctuary in the midst of them forevermore. We had the white pot blessing table set up in our chairs for the meeting, Eve said. Well, while these white tables, I believe, represent feeding on the pure word, the wicked faction hate the word and the God who wrote it and the people who stand for it convicts them of sin. And that's why they war so much about our people who dream and prophesy and so on and so forth. Therefore, in Isaiah 57 and 21, there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. They will not have the covenant of peace. They were not peaceful, and they don't get peace. You have to sow peace to get peace. Everyone was happy and in peaceful fellowship with each other. That word peaceful keeps springing up here. Psalm 133, 1 through 3. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the precious oil upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that came down upon the skirt of his garments, like the dew of Hermon that cometh down upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. Yeah, peaceful fellowship will be God's gift to Zion, the bride, and those who are obedient to the bride, which is, as you know, in the parable of Jesus and those that followed him, he sent them out to lead the people to Christianity. That was the leadership. Isaiah 54:10, for the mountains may depart and the hills be removed, but my loving kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, that hath mercy on thee. And then in 13, and all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. Quite the opposite, the children who serve as slaves under the factious. Isaiah 55 and 12 says, for you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Yes, Isaiah 57 and 2 says, he entereth into peace, they rest in their beds, each one that walketh in his uprightness. So there you see the symbolism of resting in the bed, resting in the promises of God. You believe God, you rest. You enter into the rest. But, verse 21 of this same chapter, there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. And Eve said, the factious people who had left us in bitterness and hatred because of their own sin were camped about 100 yards or so north of our location. I believe 100 here represents 100% complete separation from Zion the bride, these factious people are, whom they consider their enemies because of their demon possession, right? And remember the parallel of the faction against the true church and the faction against the true government. And when you hear this revelation, you can know that both is true. It's true of both. The beast enemy attacks Zion from the north, commonly. Jeremiah 6:22 through 30 says, thus saith the Lord, behold, a people cometh from the north country, a great nation, shall be stirred up from the uttermost parts of the earth. They shall lay hold on bow and spear. They are cruel and have no mercy. Their voice roareth like the sea. And they ride upon horses, every one set in array, as a man to the battle, against thee, O daughter of Zion. Daughter of Zion, of course, is the Zion of our day, right? 27. I have made thee a trier and a fortress among my people, that thou mayest know and try their way, and they are all grievous revolters, going about with slanders. They are brass and iron, and they all of them deal corruptly. The bellows blow fiercely, the lead is consumed of the fire. In vain do they go on refining, for the wicked are not plucked away. Refuse, silver shall men call them, because the Lord hath rejected them. In other words, the slag, you know, that floats to the top. Well, the northern factious army who attacks Zion will be destroyed. Psalm 105 and 5, whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I destroy. Joel 2:15-17. Blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly. And this is because the northern army is coming, just exactly what was identified. Gather the people, sanctify the assembly, assemble the old men, gather the children and those that suck the breasts, and let the bridegroom go forth from his chamber and the bride out of her closet. Going to be revealed. The bride's going to be revealed. Let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thy heritage to reproach, that the nations should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the peoples, where is their God? Then was the Lord jealous for his land, and had pity on his people. Down in verse 20 says, but I will remove far off from you the northern army, will drive it into a land barren and desolate, its fore part into the eastern sea, and its hinder part into the western sea. And its stench shall come up, and its ill savor shall come up, because it hath done great things. He said it was dark, and the shadow over and around their factious camp. And everything was chaotic and in disarray. I could hear shouting and gunfire with many explosions and the whiz of bullets flying. It reminded me of the night fire training courses that we practiced on in basic training when I joined the Army. Isaiah 57:14 says, and he will say, cast ye up, cast ye up. Prepare the way. Take up the stumbling block out of the way of my people. Well, remember, when God separates the wheat from the tares, God is removing all those who cause stumbling, I quote. Yes. So, verse 15, for thus saith the Lord, thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place, with him also that is of a contrite and a humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite. Verse 19, I create the fruit of the lips, peace, peace, to him that is far off and to him that is near, says the Lord, I will heal him. But the wicked are like the troubled sea, and it cannot rest. Its waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. And Eve said, in this dream I was standing at the perimeter of the UBM camp, looking out across the way to the factious camp. It was like I was seeing in the spirit, because no one else in the UBM camp was aware or seemed concerned of what was happening. It is very peaceful and restful to miss out on the whole battle in the flesh while the angels take out the enemy. That's what's going on here. The people of God won't have to worry about it. The angels are taking care of it. Father gives us prophetic dreams and revelations, Eve says, and able to warn our brethren so that we can do spiritual warfare against our enemies, and encourage us too that we have the victory. She said, I was watching a bunch of tracer bullets flying towards our direction and orange basketballs with bombs hidden inside them being launched towards us as well. The basketball bombs represent the juvenile mentality of the faction and their slander and games that they like to play. But these weapons were all being supernaturally stopped. Yeah, and that's because Proverbs 26:2 says, as the sparrow in her wandering, and as the swallow in her flying, so the curse that is causeless alighteth not. The curse that is causeless alighteth not. They were either falling short of our camp or were being turned back upon the factious camp by two special ops soldiers that stood guarding the UBM camp. And she'll tell you in a minute that these were angels. The Lord said of those who curse us, I will curse those who curse thee. We're not personally to curse our enemies, but to pray for them. Romans 12 and 14 says, bless them that persecute you, bless and curse not. Verse 19 says, avenge not yourselves, beloved, but give place unto the wrath of God. So the wrath of God will do this. By the way, the wrath of God is announced by the prophets through the scriptures. For it is written, vengeance belongeth unto me. I will recompense, saith the Lord. But if thine enemy hunger, feed him. And if he thirst, give him to drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head. Now this is not coals of conviction, as we'll see in just a moment. This is judgment. Turning back a curse sent by an enemy is not the same as sending a curse from yourself. When a curse is sent from a righteous person, they should know that God has to be the originator of it. God can speak prophetically through the righteous to judge the wicked, as he has done all through the scriptures. But he will only use those who are obedient to do this. 2 Corinthians 10 and 6. And being in readiness to avenge all disobedience when your obedience shall be made full. Therefore, the wicked factious who are in every kind of sin you can imagine cannot judge, or they will be judged. See, he tells that he will use people who are obedient to speak his judgments. The Spirit of God spoke through Paul to turn apostates over to Satan, 1 Corinthians 5 and 5, to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the Spirit might be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. And 1 Timothy 1 and 20, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I delivered unto Satan, that they might be taught not to blaspheme. Blaspheme means to speak or rail against, either against God or against others. We should not do this to defend ourselves, I'm talking about sin judgments. We can't do it personally. It has to come from the Lord, but we shouldn't do this to defend ourselves or to fight with others. We should be neutral in this regard. And also, we do not need to turn one over to Satan when he can obviously be seen as having already been turned over by God. You can tell when somebody's under a curse. They can't see, they can't hear, they can't speak truth, they don't believe the word of God, on and on. And them and their families are cursed. Well, the Spirit of God spoke curses on blasphemers or railers through David, and they're still true. Notice it wasn't David, it was the Spirit of God who spoke these things. David was a prophet. Psalm 109 and 1, for the chief musician, a psalm of David. Hold not thy peace, O God of my praise, for the mouth of the wicked and the mouth of deceit have they opened against me. They have spoken unto me with a lying tongue. They have compassed me about also with words of hatred, and fought against me without a cause. For my love they are my adversaries, but I give myself unto prayer. And they have rewarded me evil for good, and hatred for my love. Set thou a wicked man over him, and let an adversary, that's Satan, right, stand at his right hand. So, in other words, he's turned over to Satan. And when he is judged, let him come forth guilty, and let his prayer be turned into sin, and let his days be few, and let another take his office. You can see in that the prophecy about Judas. Satan entered into Judas, who hung himself by his own works and was replaced, like Absalom. To the cursers and the railers who sinned witchcraft, God spoke in verse 17 of this same chapter. Yea, he loved cursing, and it came unto him. Oh, there. Their curses returned upon their own heads, as the angels were doing. And he delighted not in blessing, and it was far from him. He clothed himself also with cursing as with his garment, and it came into his inward parts like water, like oil into his bones. Let it be unto him as the raiment wherewith he covereth himself, and for the girdle wherewith he is girded continually. He's packing around the curse with him, right? Verse 20. This is the reward of mine adversaries from the Lord, and of them that speak evil against my soul. Verse 28. Let them curse, but bless thou. When they arise, they shall be put to shame, but thy servant shall rejoice. And Isaiah 54 and 17. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. So, the wicked who judge the righteous will be condemned. And this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness which is of me, saith the Lord. Then Eve said the two special ops soldiers had short military haircuts and were wearing the standard issue camouflage billed caps on their heads, and were dressed in gray, urban combat BDUs, which is battle dress uniforms, and they had matching backpacks with supplies and weapons to counter the attacks of our enemies. I knew immediately that they were angels because of their large, pure white wings that were spread out to each side underneath their backpacks. Well, wings are a symbol that people recognize as angels. Not that they all have wings, okay? That's not the point. The point is, symbolically, it's being pointed out that these are angels. Their wings also were part of the protection barrier that they provided for the UBM camp. Psalm 91 and 4, He will cover thee with his pinions, and under his wings shalt thou take refuge. His truth is a shield and a buckler. Since their backs were to me, I couldn't see exactly what they were doing to repel the enemy fire, or what weapons they were using upon the enemy's camp. All I saw was their arm movements, which indicated some type of invisible bow and arrow weaponry. And this reminds us of Psalm 7, 9-16. Oh, let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end. Well, this is a revelation of that. But establish thou the righteous, for the righteous God trieth the minds and hearts. My shield is with God, who saveth the upright in heart. God is a righteous judge, yea, a God that hath indignation every day. If a man turn not, he will whet his sword. He hath bent his bow and made it ready. He hath also prepared for him the instruments of death. He maketh his arrows fiery shafts. Behold, he travaileth with iniquity. Yea, he hath conceived mischief and brought forth falsehood. He hath made a pit and digged it, and is fallen into the ditch which he made. His mischief shall return upon his own head, and his violence shall come down upon his own pate. Then Eve said, I was noticing that every time the enemy launched a basketball bomb towards us, the angels would hold up their hands in a stop gesture, and the bombs would reverse course and fall back into the enemy's camp, and explode upon them, causing much chaos and casualties. The two angels looked like traditional traffic cops, but instead of directing traffic, they were directing the bullets and the bombs. Yeah, back on the heads of the wicked. Like Daniel in the lion's den was kept safe, while his enemies who plotted against him and their families were devoured by them. That is the lions. Psalm 141, 9 and 10 says, "Keep me from the snare which they have laid for me, and from the gins of the workers of iniquity. Let the wicked fall into their own nets, whilst that I withal escape." Psalm 140, 9 through 11. "As for the head of those that compass me about, let the mischief of their own lips cover them. Let burning coals fall upon them." So these burning coals don't seem to be, you know, just conviction. This is trouble here. This is judgment. "Let them be cast into the fire, into the deep pits, whence they shall not rise. An evil speaker shall not be established in the earth. Evil shall hunt the violent man to overthrow him." And you can see it now with the deep state and with the faction against the church. Psalm 35, 7 through 8. "For without cause have they laid for me a net, their net in a pit. Without cause have they digged a pit for my soul. Let destruction come upon him unawares, and let his net that he hath hid catch himself. With destruction let him fall therein." Psalm 37, 14 and 15. "The wicked have drawn out the sword and have bent their bow, to cast down the poor and needy, to slay such as are upright in the way. Their sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bows shall be broken." Psalm 7:15 and 16. "He hath made a pit and digged it, and is fallen into the ditch which he made." Like Haman, whom God has likened to the factious many times, he was hung on his own gallows. "His mischief shall return upon his own head, and his violence shall come down upon his own pate." Isaiah 57 and 6. "They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have digged a pit before me. They are fallen into the midst thereof themselves." Selah. Proverbs 26 and 27. "Whoso diggeth the pit shall fall therein, and he that rolleth a stone, it shall return upon him." Proverbs 28 and 10. "Whoso causeth the upright to go astray in an evil way," which is what they practice, "he shall fall himself into his own pit, but the perfect shall inherit good." Matthew 7, 1 through 3. "Judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged." In other words, you judge it, it will come back on you. "And with what measure you meet, it shall be measured unto you." It will come back on you. "And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye?" That's just like in the government faction. The factious among the church are doing what they accuse others of, and the witnesses prove it. In both cases, most of what the factious throw at us is demons of faction, witchcraft, and slander. But whatever they throw, it returns upon them. Because God said in Galatians 6 and 7, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." And as we know, we just saw Biden reaping what he sowed, right? And Eve said, "After witnessing this, I walked over to David and was reporting to him everything that I was seeing." I don't remember what David replied, but he seemed pleased that the angels were doing a good job of protecting us. "And then I woke up." And she gives Psalm 91, 1 through 12. "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. for he will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover thee with his pinions, and under his wings shalt thou take refuge. His truth is a shield and a buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand. We are about to see this. But it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. For thou, O Lord, art my refuge. Thou hast made the Most High thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy tent. For he will give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Oh, thank you, Lord. You are a mighty Savior. You will take down the wicked in these coming days. And we praise you and we thank you for the provision for your saints. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Lord, we thank you for your grace poured out upon your people. We thank you, Lord, that the angels are there to turn back upon the wicked, their own devices, their own weapons, and no weapon formed against us shall prosper. And we thank you, Lord, that you've given us this word to stand upon. We thank you for defending your people out there. Lord, this plague is going everywhere. Everywhere people breathe, literally, this plague is going. But we remember the people of God in Egypt, how when they had the blood over their doorposts, they were protected. And we are washed in the blood when we believe that Jesus took away our curse and bore it upon himself. And they slayed the lamb, and they ate the lamb, and put the blood on their doorposts, and they were protected. So, you know, eat the lamb. The lamb is the word of God. It's not the word of God of these dead churches nowadays. It's the word of God that's in the word of God. And you can't take from it, and you can't add to it. If you do, you're falling under the curse that God spoke himself. So, get under the blood. And what else you will find there is all these wonderful and powerful and great promises of God to preserve you and deliver you from all the plagues that are out there. If you believe it, it's yours. Just like this Psalm 91 says. He said, I'll put none of the diseases upon thee, which I have put upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. So believe God's word. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for this precious, precious word today and the promises that you've given. And we thank you so much for being our God and our Savior. Lord, lead us in righteousness and truth. Grant everyone out there listening to the sound of my voice repentance from any sin that they're doing. Grant them that in Jesus' name. Let them seek your face and seek your righteousness and your purity, Lord. Let them stand next to that wall of sanctification in Jesus' name. Amen. And Father, we just send a blessing upon Michael and the brethren that are joining him. And we just ask you, Lord, to build them up in the faith and draw them unto yourself in Jesus' name. Amen. Good night, Saints.